Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
As a tribute to a great Hall of Fame player on his birthday, we celebrate the football career of Tony Boselli, star left tackle, most notably of the USC Trojans and the NFL's Jacksonville Jaguars. We have Tony's bio and story coming up for you in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And as we get opportunities to, like today, we're going to talk about one of the great Hall of Fame players from both the College Football Hall of Fame and the Professional Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. And that would be Tony Boselli. Now, April 17, 1972, Tony was born in Modesto, California. He's a legendary left tackle, most famously of the Jacksonville Jaguars and the USC Trojans. Now, his parents were Tony Sr. and Candy Boselli. And according to the ProFootballHistory.com website, Tony Sr. worked as a wine sales representative based in Modesto, California. Now, the lure of a great business opportunity moved the couple a couple years after Tony Jr. was born to Colorado in 1974. See, Tony Sr. and his brother, Bud, set up a series of McDonald's restaurant franchises in Colorado. The Boselli brothers at one point owned 12 Golden Arches locations in the state by 1995. And Tony Jr. attended Fairview High School in Boulder, Colorado. He loved football and followed the Denver Broncos quite closely, especially enjoying the play of their quarterback at the time, John Elway, and his gunslinger mentality of play. At the age of six, Tony started playing football himself near the family home. And between the coaching he got from his team and coaches there, and his father giving him pep talks in the car ride to and from practice, and also playing games in the neighborhood pickup with friends, and also with Tony Sr. with a Nerf football from his knees in the backyard, Boselli had a great foundation of loving to play the game of football. Now, when he wasn't playing football or in school, he spent time cleaning up in the parking lots of the family's restaurants chain. You know, having the education of hard work instilled him starting at the young age of eight. And of course, his father told Sports Illustrated years later that his son would come into the store on the hour almost while sweeping and pulling weeds, asking for a Happy Meal. Now, Tony Sr. would often discourage his son and tell him to get back to work and get back out in the parking lot, and he would receive his due reward of the Happy Meal later on, but he needed to get more than an hour's worth of work. Now, these tasks merged Tony into flipping burgers and dropping baskets of fries by the age of 14 inside the restaurant. And he was only making minimum wage, but his father realized that the pay plus the boy's food consumption might have been a larger salary than he was bargaining for. You know, see, a few months after this, the manager of the store went to Tony Sr. telling him that the boy was just had a great appetite and was just devouring food left and right. And so the wise decision of Tony Sr. and being the business owner, soon he transferred his growing son into the landscaping crew of the stores. Now, the young man was growing in size and strength and work ethic, and when he joined the high school team in 1987, the towering figure told the coach of his intentions to play the position of quarterback. Wise coach allowed him to try out for the position, didn't want to discourage the boy from wanting to play football, but soon saw his talents and where he could best help the team and assigned him to the offense as a tight end. As a sophomore, the youngster made another run at the signal calling duties, and even Tony Sr. pleaded with the Fairview Knights head coach, Sam Pagano, to allow his son to play quarterback. Well, Pagano years later laughed in an interview with SportsIllustrated.com as he remembered announcing that Tony was entrenched in the offensive line. Now, Tony Sr., not real happy about it, kind of discouraged, very disappointed. He felt his son had the talent to play and maybe make it to the next level and the professional level as a quarterback, and that's where he would make his money and get paid. Well, Pagano, you know, wise old coach that he was, assured him that if he worked hard and kept growing and lifting and doing all the right things, that he would become a great professional left tackle, maybe, or an offensive tackle, or lineman of some kind, with his size and quickness and agility. And boy, was that some wise words. Because as a senior, Tony put on 40 pounds of muscle and bulked up to 265 pounds and became a nightmare for opposing pass rushers to get past him, and became a high school All-American and earned first-team All-State honors. Now, the Buscelli family was hoping that Notre Dame, they were of the Catholic faith, that Notre Dame would come calling and give him a great scholarship offer, but they were one of the few schools that did not. And eventually, the University of Southern California offered him a full athletic scholarship for football. And he played for the USC Trojans from 1991 to 1994. He ended up being a first-team All-Pac-10 selection, a first-team All-American in 1992, 93, and 94. And the All-American status came from playing both offensive tackle positions, too. He played right and left in separate years and was an All-American at each position. In 1994, he also won the Morris Trophy, which is presented annually to the best offensive and defensive linemen in the Pac-12. He was so good that the College Football Hall of Fame inducted his college career into their Museum of Legends in the year 2014. Well, Tony Buscelli Jr. was selected as the second overall pick of the 1995 NFL Draft. You remember, 1995 brought two expansion teams in. The Carolina Panthers ended up getting the first pick. Jacksonville got the second pick. And it was Tony ended up being the first ever draft pick of the new Jacksonville Jaguars franchise. The Jaguars' acquisition of Buscelli was a foundational building block of how they wanted to construct their offense. They made history by signing Buscelli to a 7-year, $17 million deal that made him the highest paid rookie offensive lineman per the SportsIllustrated.com website. Remember, there was no salary cap for rookies back then, the salary arbitrated like we have now. That's more of a more modern thing where the rookies, you know, the progression of what they're going to make by the round. It was a contract just like you would any other player then. So $17 million, that was big money back then. Now, he played 7 seasons in Jacksonville and was the anchor of the offensive line at the left tackle position. Jaguars head coach at the time, Tom Coughlin, knew he had a winner with the youngster because at 6'7", 322 pounds, Buscelli's size and mobility were a combination seldom seen in a man. And while he was a large offensive lineman, his mobility and athleticism would hold off the NFL's best pass rushers. This is pretty evident in Buscelli's debut NFL game when Jacksonville faced the Green Bay Packers, pitting Tony Buscelli up against Reggie White and Sean Jones all afternoon. And to the delight of Coughlin and the Jacksonville faithful, the rookie held his own against the top defensive lineman in the league at that time. And the Jags won just 4 games in that first season. However, in 1995, well, they won 9 games and played deep into the postseason the year after. And Buscelli continued playing at a high level in the playoffs. He kept future Hall of Fame defensive end Bruce Smith of the Buffalo Bills and his normal effectiveness in the Jaguars' unexpected victory over the Bills in the AFC wildcard game. A week later, the Jags were tested and defeated Buscelli's favorite childhood team, the Denver Broncos, in the AFC divisional round. Buscelli later told Sports Illustrated that the surprise 30-27 win of the Jags over the Broncos was the highlight of his 8-year NFL career. That had to be something special when you have your childhood icon, John Elway and the Denver Broncos, and you get to go face them with your team. Well, a shoulder injury and subsequent bad medical procedure to repair it railroaded and sort of ended Tony's brilliant career. The Jags had little choice but to expose their star left tackle to the expansion draft when in the 2002 season, the NFL was adding a team And after Tony missed so much time in that 2001 season, they had to expose him. The Houston Texans in the 2002 expansion draft took a flyer on Boselli, but unfortunately, he was unable to do much for them with that injury, and he eventually had to call it a career. But Boselli signed a one-day contract, allowing him to officially retire as a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he became the first Jaguars player inducted into their Ring of Honor on October 8, 2006. In early 2022, the great former left tackle of the Cincinnati Bengals, Anthony Munoz, visited him on behalf of the Pro Football Hall of Fame to tell Tony Boselli that he indeed had been enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And he's going to be inducted in the summer of 2022. And for his career, Tony received 5 Pro Bowl selections and 3 first-team All-Pro honors while appearing in 2 AFC championship games. After football, he was an investor in multiple business ventures, a lot of them with former teammates that he played football with, and he was a football analyst on television. He started a charity foundation and raised a beautiful family of 5 children with his wife, Angie. Just a great pro, a great role model for all youngsters back there in the 90s and early 2000s, and still to this day, just an outstanding individual, and it's great to see good people get great rewards, and he was a great player too. Tony Boselli, he is our special feature of the day on his birthday, April 17th. So happy birthday, Tony, and thank you for joining us for some more great football history. And remember, we do this each and every day. We talk about football history here on PigskinDispatch.com. Till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's 4th and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.